Well, this is Sunday, December the 6th. It's the second weekend of Advent. And the theme for today is preparation. The Christmas season now is upon us. The whole craze of TV ads and flyers in the mail and shopping, gift buying, cleaning, baking, decorating, etc., etc. You know the drill. What's that all about? How do we get so involved and wrapped up in all of that? How do we get so stressed out? It's preparation. We want to be ready. Want to be ready for the holidays, ready for Christmas Day, ready to see family and friends, ready to sit down to the table and eat together. We work hard at getting ready. And leading up to last month, there were hunters getting ready, not for Christmas, but for deer season. And there were licenses and tags to be bought and paid for, and guns to be cleaned, ammunition to be purchased, clothing and gear to be gone through and set out, hunting partners to be arranged, preparations for the deer hunting season. Had a couple of fellas this week, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, but Mark McPherson and Corey Vincent each got a deer this week. They'd never let me forget it if I didn't bring it up. Anyway, we all make preparations, and we make them all the time. This is Sunday, but this evening, many of you will be making preparations for Monday morning for work. You may be making lunches so that kids in the morning will get up out of bed, have their breakfast, grab their lunch, be on their way. That's if they're going to school. Many are learning at home right now with the COVID concerns. Others will be making preparation. They're going into town and they've got a list and they're checking it twice and they're going to make sure they make all their stops before they turn around and head home. Others are checking the gas in the truck and making sure there is enough gas to get into town. And if not, then we better get gas while we're in town to come back out. And it goes on and on. Since the beginning, since the Garden of Eden, God's been making preparations. And prior to Jesus beginning his ministry here on earth, someone else was making preparation for his coming, for his ministry to begin. The passage is Isaiah, and the chapter is 40. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. Let me read this for you. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's the passage out of Isaiah, which is a prophecy. It speaks of a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And the passage is memorable as having been deliberately taken on by John the Baptist as defining his own mission. You'll find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, and then 19 through 23. And in this passage in Isaiah, the herald is not named. So he was content to cancel himself out, to be a voice or nothing. The image is drawn from the march of the Eastern kings, who in Middle Eastern culture often would boast that they had made roads through the trackless deserts. The wilderness that lay between the Euphrates and Judah, the journey of the exiles through it, reminding the prophet of the older wanderings in the wilderness of sin back in, well, you can look it up, Psalm 68 and 7, Judges chapter 5, verse 4. But let me jump back to that Gospel of John reference. It's the first book, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And verse 6 reads, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And in those references, light is capitalized. It's referencing Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which gives light, small l, to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in him and in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're still in chapter 1, the Gospel of John, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He, this being John the Baptist, said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John's taken on that prophecy found back in Isaiah 40, what we know as Isaiah 40. And it describes here in this passage in the Gospel of John, different writer, not the same as John the Baptist. And it describes that conversation between John the Baptist and the local religious leaders. You see, John's out in the wilderness outside of Jerusalem and he's baptizing people. Now, baptizing converts to Judaism was common. But here, John the Baptist was calling on Jews to repent and be baptized. He makes it clear that he's not the promised one, but equally clear that his mission is to prepare the way for that one that is to come. John the Baptist makes one crystal clear claim to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. He's, quote unquote, the voice. Now, it's nothing to do with the television program and with the music and the singers. But he is the voice, not of TV program fame, but of Isaiah 40, verse 3. This usage of voice comes from the Greek word phoné. And it means voice, sound, to speak, say, or tell, a speaker of. John comes and he makes it very clear, I am not the Messiah, I am the voice. Now Jesus, on the other hand, is, quote unquote, the Word. From the Greek word logos, the Word of God, Jesus is the living Word of God. And he's the one. The voice brings awareness of the Word. See how the two work together? And then people are then expected to respond to that word. There in the desert, outside of Jerusalem, John the Baptist is crying out, making a way for the Lord. And people hearing this prophecy would have understood it as making a road, meaning a path for the incoming king. Our lives, our conversations, our discussions are meant to make a way for Christ to reach others and for them to reach him. John the Baptist is also reassuring others by denying that he himself is the Messiah. What he preaches is not new religion, it's not even a new revelation, it's the fulfillment of what had already been prophesied. This is not God changing his mind, this is God completing his plan. And God always has a plan. It speaks to preparedness. Prepare the way of the Lord. The scripture speaks on different occasions about preparedness and being prepared. Do you remember in Matthew 25, there's a parable about the 10 virgins? Five of them are considered wise, five of them unwise. They're all headed off to a wedding banquet. They get to the venue before the bridegroom and the bride. And so they're required to wait outside because the bridegroom and the bride will enter first. While they're waiting, it grows dark. They light their lamps. But the wedding party are delayed. And they wait an extended period of time outside the gates, waiting to enter into the banquet and the feast. The first five virgins came prepared. They brought additional oil for their lamps. They had ample oil for the evening. The five foolish were unprepared, and they had insufficient oil. And their lamps ran out, and they said to the first five, loan us some of your oil, give us some. And they said, well, no, we won't have enough for ourselves. And so the five that ran out of oil go off to find somewhere where they can try and purchase additional oil for their lamps. And while they're gone, wouldn't you know, the bride and groom show up with the wedding party, and the gates are opened, and the guests throng in to join the wedding feast. And as the last guest enters in, the gates are closed and locked. They're no sooner closed and locked than here come the five virgins that were unprepared, and they cannot enter the feast. Preparedness. Ephesians 6, verse 15 is the passage where it's speaking of the Christian putting on the armor of God. And it speaks of your footwear. It says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That tells me that we need to be prepared at all times to share the gospel. Was anybody ever a Boy Scout? Any of you listening? What's the motto of the Boy Scouts? Always be prepared. There are five that have been left out of the wedding banquet because they were not prepared. Five that were able to enter into the banquet, they came prepared. There's an admonition and a direction for us here that we are to be prepared to share the gospel with others. My dad, one of his favorite lines is that any good Christian ought to be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. You can only do that if you're prepared. You can only do that if you've made and developed a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And that preparedness involves inviting Christ into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins and to help you to live for him. John's the voice. Jesus is the word. And we're called to be prepared. In the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. There's two messengers in this passage as you read it. The first is generally understood to be John the Baptist. The second messenger is Jesus. The call of one in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Eastern kings used to travel, and when they would travel, they would send out a party ahead of them, and that would be their call. Prepare the way of the Lord. And it meant get the garbage off the streets, clean them up, fill the potholes, lower the bumps, smooth the way, make it ready for the king who is coming. Clear those obstacles. The language in this passage has definitely in view the ancient Near East custom of sending that representative ahead to prepare the way for the visit of the monarch. It's speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture is that of preparing the processional highway for the Lord's coming to Jerusalem. The wilderness is a picture of life's trials, life's sufferings, and you and I are not immune to those. Whether you have come to the point where you've committed your life to Jesus Christ recently, or you've known him for a number of years and you've walked this walk of faith, we're not immune to the life trials and sufferings. But our faith doesn't need to be hindered by them. Isaiah told the people to prepare to see God's work, and it was a prophecy. What we see physically in the Old Testament, we often see spiritually in the New Testament. And John the Baptist used these words as he challenged the people to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And John declares that repentance is necessary to prepare the way for Christ. It says, make straight. Make the highway, clear the highway. Repent. So here's my question. What preparations have you made to be ready to meet with Jesus? Whoa, Steve. You started out talking, Pastor, about preparations for Christmas. What do you mean this, for meeting Jesus? Ever since I was a young child, I've heard Jesus is coming soon. The scriptures all indicate that Jesus Christ will come again to gather his people, his believers, his followers, to take them to be in heaven with him. It's known as the rapture of the saints. But it's the taking us up and into heaven. Those that are left don't make heaven. If you're prepared, Jesus, when he returns, takes you with him. If you're not prepared, he doesn't take you to heaven. So what preparations do you have to make to be ready to meet Jesus? I had as a sermon title two or three different versions. I started off with getting ready, preparing to meet the Messiah is my sermon title. And then I thought, no. And I changed that to Jesus is coming. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Christmas is coming, rather. Are you ready to meet Jesus? And I thought, no, Christmas is coming. Get ready. Get ready. The onus is on us. And what is it you have to clear out of your life to prepare for the Messiah this Advent season? Now, I'm not big on other Christians telling you what you have to clear out of your life. I'm quite comfortable with God, by way of his Holy Spirit, speaking into your heart and your life. I always find it interesting when people will talk about something, and if I ask them about some trait, some characteristic, some action of their lives, they'll say, well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad indicates that it is at some level bad. Why do we want the bad? Why do we cling to the bad? Why not clear those things out? Take the garbage out and live the life that leaves you prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. What is it you have to clear out of your life to prepare for the Messiah this Advent season, this Christmas? What has to change to make room for Jesus? Not in a manger, not room there, but room in your heart, in your life. What has to change? Because you see, Jesus is all-encompassing. He's not an add-on. He's not an app that you add to the several others in your phone. Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. And he's our only way. What has to change? What has to change to make room in your life for Jesus? When I was a child growing up, we didn't have a record player. And then when I was, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7, we got a small box record player. It was more what you'd think of as a child's record player. We had 2 albums in the house back then, vinyl LP albums. The first one was the Statesman Quartet, Southern Gospel Music at its finest. The title was All Day Singing and Dinner on the Ground. And the second was the man who for many years sang with the Billy Graham Crusade, George Beverly Shea. And it was his album, Christmas hymns. There's a Christmas hymn, a carol, that was included on that album, and it's burned on my memory. Isn't it interesting that when you hear music, it can take you to a place in your remembrance? Immediately transported. It was your favorite song, perhaps, back when you were in high school. When you were dating, it was your favorite. That's our song. It was your mother's favorite song, and she used to sing it around the house. And not any of these, but you've got it in your mind, and music immediately transports you when you hear it. It takes you somewhere. Well, when I hear this hymn, it takes me back to my childhood. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown. When thou camest to earth for me, but at Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Amidst all the preparations you'll make this Christmas season, on this second Sunday of Advent, when we direct our thoughts to preparedness, have you made preparations? Have you made room in your heart this season for Jesus the Christ? There's another song. I always seem to have music in my head. And I remember the one line. It says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine, paid a price that we were unable to pay, the price of our salvation, saved us from certain death and separation from God for eternity, and paid the price that allows us to be prepared to enter into heaven. Are you prepared this Christmas? Advent should be a season of making preparation, not of cookies and baking, not of gifts and gift wrap, but affairs of your heart and your walk of faith with God. Let's bow our heads as we draw to a close in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we've looked at your word, and we're challenged once again from the prophets of old who speak, and the words are not only bound in pages of a Bible, but they resound and impact our own hearts and lives today. You're calling to us. There's a voice that's saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And there's a call on our lives, each and every one of us, to come into relationship with you and to open our hearts to the Son of God, the Savior of our soul. So, Father, for those who are listening today, I pray that you would continue to draw them, that they would sense and understand their need for you, that it's not a great and involved process, difficult and hard to accomplish, but as simple as a childlike prayer, prayed with sincerity and in faith. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me to live for you. Come into my life today, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Well, there must be something more to it, Steve. Not the way I see the scriptures. Not the way I see it laid out. If we pray that prayer in faith, believing that God hears us when we pray, then the scripture would indicate to me that our sins have been cleaned, cleansed, paid for, and we're prepared for heaven. Are you prepared this Advent season? I trust you have a wonderful Advent season. Go out there and make it a wonderful week. God bless you. We'll look for you next Sunday.